Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, hello. Hello, my friends. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to our world, our community, our hang time. Hello and welcome. I hope today is good for you. Today is a beautiful, beautiful, stunning fall day on the East Coast, mid-Atlantic of the United States, and that is just my fave. It just makes me so happy. Unfortunately, I'm going to be indoors most of the day working, but I will have a little time this afternoon to get outside. And my God, what powerful medicine that is for me. If you're a person that resists nature, exercise, taking a walk, anything like that, I'm just saying it really, really can turn around your day. It really does for me. So if you're a person that resists that, my advice to you is just step over that resistance and just do it a little bit if the weather allows for you today. Breathe deeply. Check in with your five senses. What is one thing you can smell, taste, hear, see, and feel? Just try. Anyway. I don't know why I said that. I never know I'm going to say anything. So there that was. Anyway, so welcome to the podcast. Before I jump into the topic today of burnout and self-worth and deserving and self-pity and whatever else comes of it, I do want to say that there are two mini retreats coming up if you would like to spend time live virtually with me. One is actually today, so I'm recording this on a Wednesday. It's the Journal Speak one. But next week, Wednesday the 6th, is Perfectionism, Resistance, and Codependency. That is from 12 to 2 Eastern. And the following Wednesday, which is the 13th, is People Pleasing and Healthy Boundaries. So if you want to come to either of those, just go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Click on the retreats tab for upcoming retreats and you can sign up there. It's also linked to my Instagram bio at Nicole Sachs LCSW on Instagram. If you haven't, come visit us there. Awesome, thriving community. I'm there all the time. Okay. Other than that, all information you would ever need at my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, on the resources tab. Click the resources tab. Lots of great free resources and links to things that you might want to purchase if you're taking this work to the next level. All right. So this is a really big day for me and I have incredibly mixed feelings about it. So I'm just going to kind of get right to it. I have felt myself that I am teetering on the edge of burnout and I don't know what burnout means to you. I think each of us has to define it in our own way because it has to feel genuine and authentic in order for it to land in a way that we can work with. For me, burnout means that this work that I am so passionate about and so excited to share and so fully embodied in when I am working with it is starting to feel heavy and like a drag. And I show up every week for this podcast. It has been nearly 3 years, just under 3 years, that I have not missed 1 week of this podcast, no matter what I'm going through personally, no matter if I'm teaching at a retreat, I'll record them in advance. And I also show up every single day on Instagram, which I'm going to continue to do. So we'll get to that. And I also do my best to show up and comment in my online community, which is Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs on Facebook, a private community. No one sees the posts but the group. And other things. I'm participating in a conference at the end of October. I'm doing these mini retreats. And lots more. So I'm very immersed in the work. But lately, what I've been finding is when I think about writing these posts or showing up for different things, I'm feeling this exhaustion that feels like maybe the symptoms of depression. I am very cognizant of using the word depression correctly because it's a clinical diagnosis. I am not depressed, but like the symptoms of depression, which is like not feeling like you have energy for the things that used to bring you joy, trouble sleeping, feeling like either you want to feed your feelings or you don't want to eat at all. Things like low energy when it comes to things that are important to you, and dread, honestly, with the amount of work I've taken on. And that is not me. I mean, it's not even me when it's happening. Like I am really clear that I have an observational self about this. But the reason I'm sharing all this stuff with you today is because I've had a really, really thick personal year. And when I say thick, I mean like, you know, when you're in the weeds, and every time you think you might have some breathing room, you just kind of like part the weeds and there's more weeds. It's been a year for me. I'm sure for many of you. I'm sure for all of you. You know, stuff with my personal life, stuff with my kids, stuff with COVID, stuff with work, whatever. You know, the dog and his many surgeries. So as I am preparing for my daughter's bat mitzvah, my youngest daughter is being bat mitzvahed on Saturday. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Jewish religion, that is a rite of passage when a child is 13, and it's a big deal. She has studied the Torah for many years, and she will be having her bat mitzvah on Saturday, and we're having a big party for her, and we're trying to manage that among, you know, COVID regulations and praying that no one gets sick. Prior or after, but prior, so we can, you know, so that we can have all our guests that would like to come. So anyway, the reason I'm even sharing this with you is because what I decided the other day, which is a really major decision for me, is after the bat mitzvah, I'm going to take several weeks off. Not completely off, but I'm going to take several weeks off from this podcast and from my video content on Instagram. I'm still going to be running the retreats that were planned. I'm still going to be participating in the conference. I'm still going to be showing up every day on Instagram with graphics because that I can manage, my graphics and my writing. But I need to take a minute and to look into this burnout and look into what it means for my nervous system because to be honest with you, everything we feel comes down to our brain and our nervous system, everything, because our systems, respiratory, digestion, circulation, and all the others, all the systems in our body are regulated by our brain and our nervous system. There is nothing else beyond that. Any stimuli that we experience as conscious beings is fed into the nervous system, which informs the different systems in our function in our body and how they're going to function. And I know from my vast experience working with people clinically for years and years and years, and also in my own body, that when I am feeling this nervous system dysregulation, I need a chance to pause and like be with it because I know that I'm okay. I know that my personal life is okay. I've come through a lot of difficult things and it's looking really promising right now. And I know that my professional life is okay, even though I will tell you it is an effort to work in a job where you are the rainmaker at all times, you know, the person who's always trying to be out there and do your best. So, but I know it's okay. I know it's great, actually. I know it's amazing. But my nervous system doesn't know that. And I think many of you guys are going to relate to this, which is everything can look fine on paper. Your life can feel great. But when you're off and you're feeling off and your systems are reflecting that consciousness of feeling off, it takes some effort, some cognizant effort to pause and to go toward those uncomfortable feelings. One thing also that you probably know about me if you're a fan of this podcast is I am also sober, which means I don't use alcohol or drugs or any substances to dull my experience of being alive. That's just a personal choice. But that also means that I don't get that kind of mental within the situation break that people do who do use those things. And I have to be honest with you, and this is my own personal opinion always, life for me is a grillion times better when I am not dulling and numbing myself from my experiences, because not only is it work with the lows, but the highs and the presence and the joy, it's just so rich. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. My worst day sober is better than my best day when I was using alcohol to numb my feelings. And so I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying that, you know, it's a responsibility to myself to do this, to pause and to take some time. And I hope that you don't think that I'm like overly apologizing for it. I'm actually really okay with it. What I am more than anything is wanting you to take a look at your life too. Let's do this together. And I'm, of course, knowing that we don't all have the freedom to just peace out for a few weeks from things that are our responsibility. But there are little ways within our lives to peace out through boundaries, through not saying yes to everything, to not holding that mental energy of having to be everything to everyone, and to be able to pause and look within and say, why am I putting that kind of pressure on myself? That kind of thing. So anyway, so partially this is an announcement that this podcast will not air for a few weeks. I don't know how many, probably 3 or 4. I will be, like I said, on Instagram every day, and I'm not going to be disappearing. I'm just taking some time. And, you know, like many podcasts have seasons, and I know they do take off. And so just look at it that way. And also, if you are new to this podcast, there are over 150 episodes that you can go back and listen to, and every one of them is a freaking gem. And I'm not saying that because it's my podcast. I'm saying that because both my own experience and all my interviewees bring so much richness to this work and to what it means to recover from this mind-body dance of chronic conditions and pain and diagnoses and syndromes and symptoms and all the things that I work with here. So there's so much good information that you can go back and you can get. So let's talk about burnout. Let's talk about what it means and what sort of ripple effects it has, and why we could be susceptible to burnout. So I've done some thinking about this, obviously, because I'm going through it a little bit. So the first thing I want to think about is self-worth. So for example, our self-worth really informs the kind of people we feel the pressure to show up as in life. You know, if I think that my self-worth is hinged upon my success or my impact or how much I can constantly be giving of myself or helping people, if that is attached to my self-worth, then I'm never going to be able to give myself a break. And if I can never give myself a break, I'm really susceptible to burnout. And, you know, like I said, burnout is different for each of us, but in general, it means you do not get joy out of the things that brought you joy, and you don't feel like you have the energy to do the things you need to do. And we don't want to push ourselves to the point of getting there. And as I said on Instagram when I announced this, I am not under the tidal wave of burnout. I am feeling the edges of burnout. And feeling those edges, I'm doing the responsible thing I need to do for myself. And I'd invite you to be looking at your life in a similar fashion. So let's think about self-worth. You know, what is it that you define as the reason you are worthy of love and success? It's a major question. And I know in the past, the answer to that question for me was a lot about what I could do for you and how much service I could be, but it wasn't like clean, clear service. It was like, how can I be of service so you'll think I'm awesome? I mean, this was the past, but it was definitely a big factor in me feeling like I had worth. And, you know, I definitely see that as a reflection of my upbringing. I was brought up in a way, especially, well, only in reflection of my father, because my mom was pretty chill, with like, what did you get on the test? What did you get on the report card? My parent-teacher conferences night, guys, were like full panic attacks for me. I used to stay home because back in the 80s, actually, I think right now too, I don't know if kids are invited into their parent-teacher conferences. It's been so long since my kids were called for any because they're pretty good kids and they don't, you know, in middle and high school, you don't really get called in unless the kid's having an issue. But in high school, I know they include the kid. But back when I have memories of this, it would be like the night my parents would have to go to school and I would stay home and freaking panic. Which is so silly because I was always a good student. I was sometimes talkative in class. You know, I was definitely a social animal. So maybe I would worry, but I was so worried about being perfect and about how that report was and what kind of mood my dad would be when he got home. And the irony is it was pretty much never a problem, but I was so pressured to get straight A's and I was so pressured to show up as the shining star and in his estimation, you know, which was his own definition in terms of what activities I was involved in and what role and position I held in those activities, etc. That I think it was just an unconscious thing that I grew up thinking that my self-worth was tied to my shine and my productivity and my being accepted into certain elite groups and my straight A's. And straight A's might only exist when you're a student, but there's certainly measures of success that feel like straight A's of life that I was definitely very invested in. And so, so I have had over the years to really pause and look into it when I'm feeling bad about myself, because we know that our self-worth is getting triggered when we start feeling like nothing we do is good enough. And so it's, you know, it's our responsibility to not go unconscious when it comes to those things, to not just allow those thoughts to own us without pausing and taking a more curious look, which is, why am I feeling this way? And when I go back and do the inner child work, which is so important, and guys, I can't say enough about inner child work. I know I talk about it often on this podcast. If you are not familiar with the magic and the transformational aspects of inner child work, just go to my website, click on the retreats tab, and under buy retreat recordings, you can buy my inner child retreat and you can just own it forever and do the work at your leisure. It's so powerful. But anyway, so I do this inner child work with myself and I realize the spaces where I have been using certain barometers, certain benchmarks to define my self-worth. And, you know, we got to know this stuff about ourselves if we're going to be helpful to ourselves in moments of burnout and stress and panic and anxiety, because if we don't know why we're responding to something in a certain way, it's really hard to get the response to stop. But if I can look back at my life and say, of course, I think my self-worth is tied to what I can produce, because that was like my entire childhood. And going back and doing the specific inner child work that I teach and I live, knowing that I have to be in communion and listening to her at 8, at 14, at 22, at 36, at whatever age she was feeling the squeeze of that, then I have the power to transform. One of the things we'll be talking about in my retreat today, later on today, which is called Journal Speak for Radical Acceptance, is the fact that transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is. But the problem is, or the challenge is, we need to know what is. If we don't know what is, which you might say, of course I know what is. I know my life. Right. Yeah. No, I didn't. And I've worked with thousands of people and they didn't. It's about pausing and really looking. We are so automatic. We are so unconscious. And when we pause and use our journal speak practice to examine and to be curious and to excavate and to look into why we do what we do, when we look into our trauma, and I know that trauma is very complicated, and if you don't feel safe doing this alone, I totally see you. I would partner with someone who can help you, a trauma therapist, an online group, a trusted, loving friend who can sit with you through it. But many, many of us have little T trauma that we're capable of looking at on our own in our journal speak practice, and that can really help. to get a sense of this inner child, to do the work you need to do, and to transform these daily triggers, many of which lead to a feeling of burnout, to lead to a feeling of not being able to continue to go on, in danger of losing the passion and the joy that that's our birthright. Human beings are meant for passion and joy. I'm sorry, but that's just my opinion. And we so often lose that in the grind of the day-to-day. And I think that burnout has a lot to do with that. So self-worth is definitely, that's a big one. And another one that has been huge for me in my life, not so much anymore, but of course, everything that I've ever struggled with pops up from time to time. You know, one thing that I love that Ram Dass says is that in all his years of doing spiritual work, which were many, and his work was deep, it's huge, huge beacon in my life. He said, I never lost one of my neuroses, but they didn't own me anymore. They didn't have this huge, overpowering black cloud over my head kind of feeling. They just became little schmooze. This is a quote. He literally says, they became little schmooze, and I just invite them in for tea. And I say, oh, insecurity. Oh, self-pity. Oh, lack of self-worth. Come in. Come in. Have a seat. And that speaks so much to what I like to tell you guys, which is we're all sitting on an infinite kindergarten carpet with us and all the parts of ourselves. And if we stop denying the parts of ourselves that we don't feel are positive or they make us feel uncomfortable, if we stop denying them and pushing them away and we just scoot over on the kindergarten carpet, which is infinite, plenty of space, and say, sit down, self-pity. I know you've spent a lifetime just nurturing and sculpting and swaddling this self-pity, because I loved self-pity when I was a kid because I thought it made me powerful. It brought me a lot of comfort. Everyone has it better than me. The world is too much for me. Nothing's fair. I wish I had what she had or he had or they had. You know, that was a big theme of my childhood and definitely of my young adulthood as well. And so self-pity can really feed into burnout, because when you're feeling like nothing's bringing you joy and you're stressed out and you're exhausted, you feel sorry for yourself. And if you allow yourself to exist within that self-pity and sort of bathe in it all day without the perspective that you need to climb out of it, it just makes everything worse. And quite frankly, self-pity does not make you stronger. It does not make you better than other people. It doesn't protect you from heartbreak. And I have total empathy for you if there's parts of you that are like, but wait, maybe it does, and or I want it to, or it does, you know, whatever reaction you're having to this. I get it. I really, really employed it for quite a while until I realized that it was really stealing from me. And the only person that was suffering in the self-pity conversation was me. All these other people that I decided, you know, screw them. I, you know, poor me. They didn't even know, you know, those people aren't suffering. And I often say acid does more damage to the vessel in which it is stored than that on which it is poured. And self-pity is definitely acid within us. So, you know, so there's that. You know, and there's all the ways that we define ourselves that we need to look at in order to examine how we respond to life and how we respond to the pressure and the need and the panic to be productive, out there, doing what other people need us to do, which is what leads to burnout. And I think that that's really a good exercise. So what I might invite you to do is to kind of take out a piece of paper or open a document and make a list, and be honest, nobody's going to see this but you. Make a list of the traits that you feel define you in a good way, the things that you need to be out there for you to have a self-definition that is positive. And it might be eye-opening, you know, because if I did it, I think, I mean, I'm just kind of coming up with this now, even though I've done it in many different ways that are, you know, maybe not exactly that. But if I did that list, I know one of the things I would say is I am worthy if I show up every day, if I show up every week at this podcast, if I never, you know, peace out and take a break, if I never say this is too much for me. And like, that's bullshit. And that's going to lead me to not be what I want to be for you, which is I want to be an example. In addition to a wealth of information, I need to be an example. You know, what I watch often in parenting with people, you know, you're always, as a parent, if you're a parent, you'll get this. You're always watching everybody else parent, not necessarily to judge them, just because it's like your life. And so you're observing other people do it. And sometimes you're going to see something, be like, yeah, that was a good one. I want to grab that one. Sometimes you're going to see something and be like, eesh, yikes, I don't want to do that. And sometimes you're just going to feel empathy, you know, oh man, I know what that feels like, whatever it is. But one thing I think is super important in parenting, and I see people do it, I'm going to use the word wrong a lot, sorry. Maybe wrong is the wrong word, different. Is that people do not parent by example. They just parent by being a dictator or by being a guide, even if we're not going to use such a negative word, or by being a person with suggestions, whatever the case may be. However, in doing that, they are not also being an example of the behavior that they would like their children to exhibit. And to me, that's like a real that's a real no-no for me. I would never do that because I, first of all, would hate the way that would feel for me. And second of all, I would think that that was real hypocrisy for my kids. And so one of the things – and by the way, this goes both ways. It's not only just positive things for my kids. It's also things that they might not like. But if I'm – I'll give you an example of one that I would say might be something that my kids are not thrilled about. I'm always telling my kids, you need to prioritize your needs. That doesn't mean be selfish. It just means you don't give your entire self away. And it means that you say no when you need to say no. And it means you have boundaries. And it means that you – aren't going to do what other people need you to do just because they need you to do it. So that's one of my big like lessons or guidance in parenting that I give my own children. So the other day I had plans all day on a Sunday with a friend. We had a lot of different things to do and I was looking forward to it for a while. And my daughter, all of her plans fell through. And so she's 13 and she was going to be like super bored all day in the house, you know, with no rides. And she certainly had homework to do and she certainly has a phone and she could be in touch with any number of people and she wouldn't be alone, but she wouldn't be able to do maybe what she might be able to do if I was just going to drive her around all day or spend the day with her. And I spend tons of time with her, so she's certainly not, you know, shaming me, but I could see in her attitude, she was upset and pissed that I was choosing me that day. But see, for me to cancel my plans just because her plans were canceled and do everything she needed me to do would not be living the example that I teach my kids. So that's one of the examples of where like they might not celebrate me being an example. But for the most part, I think they would. I think that I encourage them to speak from their heart, to be humble, to make amends when they have done something hurtful. And I absolutely do that with them. I can't tell you how many times I have either sat down or just casually in the kitchen making lunches, whatever the case may be, turned to my kids and been like, oh my God, you're so right. I screwed that up. I am so sorry. I did not mean to make you feel that way, or I did not mean to forget that we needed to do that. I'm, you know, I am going to be the example. So that's just my personal opinion. But any case, I want to do that for you as well, which is why if I'm going to sit here and talk to you about this stuff and encourage you to pause and look into your own motivations and your own things that inspire you to act. And not every inspiration is healthy. Sometimes we get inspired to act by way too much pressure on ourselves or, you know, lack of self-worth or self-pity or the way we define ourselves or what have you. That is something that needs to be looked at. And if a break is in order, a break should be taken. So I am coming to you to say just a quick goodbye. It is not goodbye forever. It is just goodbye for a pause. I will definitely be back 1,000,000%. I have absolutely no intention of stopping doing this podcast. I'm just going to take a breather. Once this bat mitzvah is over, fall is my favorite season. The weather just brings me so much joy. I'm going to spend a lot of time outside. I'm going to do some creative stuff. I'm going to connect with people and take walks and laugh and have dinners. And I'm going to do a little bit more of the stuff that makes me feel really nurtured and fed, because I know that I have a lot of hard work to do and I welcome it. The world of chronic pain and anxiety and depression and conditions and syndromes and symptoms and diagnoses and all the things that I see all over the world, that world needs me, needs you. It needs all of us who are waking up to the fact that the mind-body connection is everything and can provide the kind of healing that almost nothing else can. In a very concrete, scientific, brain science focused way, this is not hippy-dippy, therapy talk, mumbo-jumbo, I promise you. So if you're new to this podcast, please go back and listen and get educated on this, because the life you save is your own. My wish for you, my prayer for you is that you can replace your fear and your skepticism with curiosity, to learn about this work, to go research my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, to join my online community on Facebook, Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs, to read my book if you want to hear my story and exactly how to do this for yourself. That's called The Meaning of Truth on Amazon. And if you really want me to hold your hand through this process, I have 2 online courses, Freedom from Chronic Pain and Freedom from an Anxious Life, both available on my website. There's so much learning to be done. And maybe as I take this few weeks off, that would be a really good time for you to take one of the courses or give yourself the 28-day Journal Speak Challenge. I also have a YouTube channel, The Cure for Chronic Pain with Nicole Sachs, LCSW on YouTube. Tons of videos there. If you're super new to this work, I have a Healing Yourself series, parts 1 through 4, totally free. Go online and listen to it. So much for you, so much for me. I feel better already that I've made this decision, and I feel really good about coming back to you with renewed energy and just continuing to kill it, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to wake up. We're here to love ourselves. We're here to left foot, right foot, breathe through our day, doing the next right considered action as we understand it, to pause when we are stressed out or anxious, and to look within, to do the inner child work. This sounds like a lot, but it's a gift. We get to do this because we get to be alive and full of joy and connection. And I feel that very deeply for me and for you. All right, my loves. Well, if you're enjoying this podcast, please, please go over to iTunes and rate and review it. I read every single review. It makes my heart leap. I really love it. And it helps other people like you find the podcast. And until next time, whenever that is, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. I will see you then. Bye-bye.